With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it's the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Wednesday. January 29th. Man, the month has flown by, hasn't it?
It has really flown by. You know, we really knocked it out of the park this morning. We got two holes in one and one triple basket score thingy.
Here's a guy. we were talking, of course you can pick up on that. We're doing a little sports idioms. Thank you. And I guess that was actually a topic that was brought up that perhaps, especially if you're a manager, that you really should not try and stop using having male staff using and discussing sports because it excludes women.
Yeah,
they feel left out. They don't follow sports very closely and don't like either being focused on the talk is about something that they really don't care about. Plus,
Right. They
also say a lot of times when guys start being guys, that locker room humor starts coming out and makes women uncomfortable.
My wife taught me this. I know when her eyes glaze over. She doesn't care for sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I, over the years, have learned to mitigate my sports watching. I just don't sit down and watch anything mindlessly. It's either probably, if it's a Gator game, I'll probably watch it. But I always warn her ahead of time.
Right.
You know, like last night, you know the Gators are playing at 7 o'clock last night. So, but when their eyes glaze over, back off on the sports talk. You can tell.
I go on the other side. This is where you just got to use your good judgment. There are a lot of women who follow sports super close.
No question about it. But in an office, I wouldn't assume.
Right.
You know.
And that's kind of the thing too. Is if they're not participating in the conversation when you talk about sports or using sports metaphors, you probably should switch gears and do another topic.
Yeah. Like, should you high five with a woman? That's one of the questions I ask.
We found out teachers, of course, a very important job in our society and a very thankless job at times and very stressful being a teacher. But there's different levels of stress. You know, you have the elementary teacher versus the middle school and the high school and then the college professor.
And there's preschool.
Preschool as well.
Sure.
Which one is the stressiest? Well, according to the University of Missouri, they found 94% of middle school teachers experienced the high levels of stress.
Imagine that. You got hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You've changed from one or maybe two teachers in elementary school. Now you have multiple teachers you have to get used to. You're changing classes.
Yes.
It's all this grown-up stuff. And you add hormones into the mix, man.
Absolutely. And they say that their findings suggest that many teachers are not getting the support they need to adequately cope with the stresses of the job.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. The school districts, they say they should offer initiatives and programs to promote mental health
mm-hmm.
to improve conditions for middle school teachers. I remember in middle school, the teacher's lounge smelled like an ashtray.
Yes.
This is where they go to smoke and be nervous.
That was one of the funnier episodes of one of The Simpsons where Homer got a medical marijuana prescription card.
Right, yeah.
And he's up in the attic, you know, listening to Smoke on the Water.
Right.
And Lisa goes by. She's like, "Mom, the attic smells like the art room's teacher.
The art room's break room. Yeah, right."
I thought, well, that's kind of funny. Hey, next time you get a notification from your credit card company saying, "Hey, do you want to? Are you interested in a credit increase limit of your increase?" Say yes.
This is probably the time of year where they're going to do it because you might probably maxed out your card from the holidays,
right.
And they're going to try to give you a little bit more. But there's a good reason to do it, but you also have to be very careful.
Yes. I always look at it. I have more credit than I will ever need in my life.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, like tenfold. The whole idea is it's a temptation for you to use it. So that is where it is. That's why you get it.
You're being tested, actually. All right. I'm going to give you $10,000 credit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have $9,000 balance all the time on your card and you're paying the minimum, well, we're not going to give you a great credit score.
No,
but if you pay it off every month and have zero, we're going to give you a lot better credit score.
And let's be honest, some people just can't. They have to ride a credit card balance, and that's fine.
Sure.
And that's why you actually want an increase, but you don't want to use it. And here's why, because 30% of your credit score is based on something called credit utilization, and that is the amount of money you have on the card versus the amount of credit that is available. And if you go over a certain amount, it actually lowers your credit score. So let's say you have a credit card with $3,000 credit limit, you have $1,500 on the card all the time, or most of the time. That means you're using 50% of your credit utilization, and that's not good. That makes companies feel uncomfortable, right, like you're getting, you're digging yourself into a hole. So, but if you were to get a $1,000 increase because you've been making your payments on time and paying a little bit more, well, that $1,500 balance now means you're only using 37.5% of your available credit, and therefore your credit score should start to go up. And as it goes up and up and up, if you end up having to you know, keep a balance on your card, you probably have a better interest rate, right, when you can transfer it because you have a higher credit score.
As long as you don't run the card back up, that's the danger. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
You know, that was one of the hardest lessons in my life was with money. And I screwed up really early in my life,
right,
which was kind of a blessing because it's made me super hyper-focused on
vigilant.
Financial.
I think you're vigilant, and we both are.
Yeah, so
it's hard to make the money, man. Keep it.
No, yeah, it is. And it's, you know, I'll never forget it. It's like, it's so quick, so easy, and easy to spend that money.
Oh, yeah.
But you think about, even like now, I have a couple TVs on like 0% for 24 months from, right, Best Buy. And, you know, it didn't sound like it was a lot of money when I put it on the card because it was just so quick. But, you know, it's like I have up to 24 months. I'll pay it off like in 16 months. But still, that's a year and a half,
right,
of making a constant payment. And that's a long time if you think about it, and having that extra money to do whatever you want. So that was my life lesson, yeah, I learned with credit. Let's talk about, well, since we're on money, let's talk about cities that'll pay you to move there.
They're
so bad, they need you to move there.
But, you know, we do stories like a villa in Italy or someplace that will pay you in a foreign country. These are American cities like Tulsa, Oklahoma, which used to be, you see those little, I forget what they're called, those little oil pumps all everywhere,
mm-hmm,
those little things that are bouncing up and down.
Are they called Daddy Long Legs? I think they're called Daddy Long Legs.
You know, I don't know. I have to look that up.
I remember because I come from an area of town or California called Orchid. There's, uh-huh, a town called Orchid. Apparently, Mr. Orchid was a big oil man back at the turn of the 20th century, and they still pump oil there. But anyways, Tulsa is an old oil town. It's a town that turned into a tech town, and
right,
if you're able to work remotely from home, or just move there in general, they'll pay you $10,000. If you can work remotely from your job, they'll actually give you a digital workspace so you can do your job there,
right,
and even help you find an apartment. Pretty cool little project that they have
that's
there.
That's nice.
They say you got to be at least 18 years old, eligible to work in the U.S., and be able to move to Tulsa within 6 months so you can apply for the program. Now, if you have just recently finished college, hey, congratulations. You're really in debt, aren't you? I call it the student loans. But if you happen to have a degree in a science field, technology field, engineering field, art, or math,
right,
you might want to consider moving to the town of Hamilton, Ohio.
That's where the University of Miami, Ohio is there.
The other University of Miami,
yeah.
Yeah, that's actually it's about 20-30 minutes north of Cincinnati, and they will actually pay a portion of your student loans back.
Isn't that something?
They'll pay upwards of $300 a month on your student loans for the 30-month period for which the grant is paid. You just have to live in the county and be employed. If you really want to make a change, go to Alaska. If you become a permanent resident there, you and have no felony convictions and remain in the state for at least 180 days or half a year, you can become eligible for a cash payment from the Alaska Permanent Fund.
Yeah, it was from the oil lease revenues that come in. They actually split it up among the citizens. I think last year it was about $1,600.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got a check and they all spent it on their heat, Chris.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's Alaska. Yeah.
It is Alaska. So they say, though, the program in Alaska, I guess they're having some budget problems, and so that may not be around for much longer. So.
All right. The name of that oil pump thing?
Yeah.
It's a pump jack or a donkey pumper or a nodding donkey pumper or a horse head pump or a rocking horse or a
rocking
beam pump
horse.
Or a dinosaur or a sucker or a rod pump or a grasshopper pump or a big Texan or a thirsty bird or a jack pump. Any of those can we will accept any of those answers.
Well, it's kind of like Coke, soda, and pop.
Yeah, right.
It's where you're from.
Yes,
it's your dialect.
You want a sub or a grinder? What do you want there?
That's a nice Berber. Let's see. Let's talk about the this is really some good and bad news,
yeah,
and it really we need to rethink and retrain ourselves in shopping. We're eating healthier, which is great, which means we're eating fresh foods. We're eating a lot more fruits, a lot more vegetables. The problem is we're not eating them fast enough when we buy them,
yeah,
and it's becoming wasteful. And in fact, they said on average, the U.S. family wasted 30 to 40% of their household food budget on food that had just gone bad.
But now, trying to eat healthy, you were kind of miscalculating how long that lettuce is going to last us.
Right. And they also talk about, in the article, which is really true, you know, millennials in particular are waiting later to start families,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of times they're living together. So, you know, you got a head of lettuce between two people or a family of four. Obviously, the
big
lettuce
difference
is going to be used a lot faster.
Yeah.
And it illustrates the fact that it's not only just the money you're throwing away. It's talking about the resources that are kind of wasted on uneaten food, about the farming of it, the land usage, the energy used to harvest it, to move it, even the water and the labor to fix it. And it was interesting. And this is where I love having the opportunity to travel the world, because you really do have a greater appreciation of what we have here and see how things are done in other countries. In Europe, the supermarket is kind of a newer thing for them, because they generally, when they would finish work for the day, they would stop at the store and pick up whatever foods they were going to eat that night for dinner and eat. Therefore, you weren't really wasting anything. Because you think about meal prep, if you make your meals for the week, and then Tuesday you and I get together and we go out and have lunch, well, I have that Tuesday's lunch that I've just not – it's going to waste.
Yeah, usually in the small French cities that I've traveled, it's like on Wednesdays would be the farmer's market. On Saturdays, there's more the meats that come in. But in the town, there is a patisserie where you get fresh bread and maybe one small restaurant. But that's it. And the rest of the time, you're shopping for local foods, and that's what you're using throughout the week.
And that's what they talk about having to recalculate it, because I'm guilty about this as well, is we go out on Sunday, we buy the food for the week.
Sure.
And, you know, there are things that we throw away because, we were going to make, whatever. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the week, we never did. And, the tomatoes are soft, or the the cucumber is kind of lump
That's the thing about a farmer's market is you don't know how long something's been in a pipeline to get to a grocery store. But the farmer's market, these folks just picked it.
Yeah.
So in the shelf life on stuff in the farmer's market, I've got lettuce that's 2 weeks old. That's just as fresh as the day it was picked.
Interesting.
It's beautiful, really. The shelf life is incredible on farmer's market. And also, make a shopping list.
Yeah.
That's really important.
They do say that that's one of the big things you need to do is make a shopping list. And then finally, we learned that the old Rubik's Cube from the 1980s that has not been solved since 1988 can now be solved thanks to technology. There's an iOS app called the Magic Cube Solver.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting forever for this.
Basically, what you want to do is input the cube's information by tapping on the squares that are on the display of the app, of whatever the color is. Give it a few seconds. It will have a solution for you in 22 moves or less.
That's right. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, you never know. plus, it is to get it back to where it needs to be, but it also has what's called the solve and learn mode, where it will kind of give you a go.
Oh, kind of train you a little bit?
Like a learning curve for you, because they do have these Rubik Cube conventions, and, usually it's, like Thailand or something, where these kids are, solving a Rubik's Cube in 3 seconds.
Wasn't some kid on America's Got Talent blindfolded or something and did it in 2 seconds? I don't know. It was just ridiculous what he did.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That means he spent a whole lot of time with that Rubik's Cube in his hand.
Well, better than having something else in his hand.
And if your Rubik's Cube turns into a Rubik's ball, then you're using it too much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's our show for today, Wednesday, January 29th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
Hey, remember, the sun is always shining.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.